Welcome to another inspiring message from Pastor David Hall, Senior Pastor of Revival City Church in Adelaide, South Australia. We pray this message will stir your faith to believe God for the impossible. For more information on David and Donna's ministry, check out davidhall.com.au. Or if you're ever in South Australia, we'd love for you to join us at one of our services at Revival City Church.
Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favoured one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end.'" Can I just pause there? I'm not preaching about this at all, but we might worry about governments. We might worry about things that are creeping up, and we might be worried about what's going on the earth. I can tell you, we can rest assured in the fact that we are part of a kingdom that knows no end. It's the kingdom of the living God. And I tell you, I became part of that kingdom when I gave my life to Jesus. If you're born again, you're part of a greater kingdom, the kingdom of God. And of that kingdom, there shall be no end. Oh, that's good news on Sunday night. Verse 34. "And Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' The angel answered her and said, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible.'" I know it's old school, but why don't we say that together? Somebody say, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." I just sounded like my father then. That was very frightening. "Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord.'" And Mary says, "Is let it be me according to your word." The angel comes in. Flies in. That was the flapping. Comes in. I've been proud to practice that all the way over. And the angel comes in and says, "Mary." And I love that the Bible is actually quite funny when you read it. She considered what manner of greeting this was. It was, let's just say, that was one greeting that I think was worthy of some consideration. She says, he says, Mary, let me start again. The angel says to Mary, "You're going to give birth to a son. He's going to be the Son of God. You're going to give birth to a son, and you shall call him Jesus. He'll be great. He is the Son of God. He's going to come. He's going to take the sins of the world away. The Messiah is coming, and he's going to be birthed through you." And she stops and she says, "How can this be, since I don't know?" You know what I'm saying? Just, we got to keep this G-rated. I don't know biblically. "Since I do not know a man." And the angel says to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." If you've got the old King James, it says, "The Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you." Mary says, "How can this be?" And then the angel says, "The Holy Ghost will come upon you." If I was to just shrink that down, Mary says, "How?" And the angel says, "The Holy Ghost." You know, for every how that you have, there's a Holy Ghost. No matter how big your how is, there's enough Holy Ghost to turn that thing around. You might be sitting here, how am I gonna get my marriage sorted out? The Holy Ghost. How are my kids gonna serve God? The Holy Ghost. How are we gonna get this church from here to Sim Street? There's a lot of bits and pieces. There's a lot of moving parts, but ultimately the Holy Ghost is gonna do it. How am I going to get my miracle? The Holy Ghost is going to come. And I'm believing God. I don't know how big your how is, but the Holy Ghost is bigger. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but I sit here, I can think of all the hows that I have. How am I going to get through this? How are we going to make, how are we going to get the resource to do that? How are we going to see the churches in South Australia rise to be all that heaven has? I got so many hows, but what I do know is that no matter how big my how is, the Holy Ghost is bigger. Whatever how that you have, we always come into church, how am I going to sort this out? How am I going to keep living with this husband? Even the Holy Ghost is a whole, no, I don't know. For every how you have. That's why encounter weekends are so important. Because we forge a little bit of time to say, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get this year set up. But if I make some room for the Spirit of God to come and do the impossible. There was a word that came through Zerubbabel. They're trying to rebuild the temple. And the word came and the word was this, not by might. Not by power, but by the Spirit of God. There are some things that only the Holy Spirit can do. There are some things that only the anointing of the Holy Spirit can do. And that's why we've got to get sometimes out of our pragmatic headspace and realize that there's an unseen power whose name is the Holy Spirit, and he's the one that when you were sitting, maybe it was in this very building, and the preacher was preaching and said, if you don't know Christ, he wants to change your life. And you were sitting there, and something began to shift in your heart, drawing you to Jesus. What was that drawing? It wasn't vibe. It wasn't style. It wasn't atmosphere. It was the Holy Spirit. How are you going to get to heaven? The Holy Spirit drew you to God. Jesus was dead in a tomb. I don't think the disciples and his family understood fully at the time, but how did he rise again? The Holy Spirit went into that tomb. That's why I don't have any room in our church for anything that opposes the moving of the Spirit of God, because without the Holy Spirit, we are in a lot of trouble. The Bible tells us in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters. I don't know why I'm skipping. I just got excited. The Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters, waiting for a word from God. What happened? How was the earth created? The Holy Ghost. I mean, Jesus was born supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't have Christmas. We'd just sit around singing Silent Night. And then it's done. Bible says the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God. This Word was given us by inspiration of the Spirit. How have we got the Bible? The Holy Spirit. So when we sit and think that because he's called the third person of the Godhead or of the Trinity, doesn't mean he's the third most important. The Holy Spirit is as much God as Jesus is. If I got up on Easter, the Holy Spirit's a person. If I got up on Easter and maybe there was a picture of a cross on the stage, and I pointed to the cross and I said to all of us on Easter, say Good Friday, aren't you glad it died on the cross for your sin and mine? You'd sit back, something in you would go, ooh. That's how I feel. When you know the Spirit of God, it's a little bit like that. When you know, oh, man, I feel it here. I don't feel it, I feel him. I feel the one that took a hold of my heart and pulled me into salvation, pulled me out of darkness through the shed blood of Jesus by the grace of God. And I'm here saved by the grace of God. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God that his blood still washes whiter than snow. Thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost. And in this message, we see an angel speaking to Mary about a phenomenal responsibility to bring to birth the salvation of mankind. And there's a lot to it. You know, I guess I've given an overview and one point that says, how's this going to happen? The Holy Spirit. But I want to pull it back and just show you the process of how this miracle was born. And tonight, for just a few minutes, I want to speak on how miracles are born and how God did it in this story. And there's really four things that I want to speak into tonight. And if you're writing these down, this is kind of the order that we see things happening in this story that enabled that how to take place. And the first thing It is declaration. The angel comes and declares some things over the life of Mary. Now, this isn't self-help. This isn't me just trying to tell you how good you are or anything like that. This is important as children of God. If we are going to bring to birth the impossible, we need to believe a few things about ourselves that God says about us. And right here, we see the angel of the Lord comes in and says to her, this is how he greets her. He says, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you." And then he says, "Bless you among women. Bless you among other people." There's something about you that's blessed. I tell our church what blessing means. It means we're highly favored, empowered to prosper, impossible to curse, and anointed to win. And I want to encourage you. This is Mary, but you and I, when we got born again, we stepped into blessing. And you might be here tonight and you might feel a bit less than others. You might sit here and go, you know, I want to serve God, but I'm not where I need to be. I'm not at a place that's consistent with everybody else. And you beat yourself up and you almost say God's no for him. It's almost like you rule yourself out without even giving God a chance to rule you out. But here's the thing, you don't rule people out. And you might be sitting here going, I'm not who I need to be. You know, you see this young lady up here telling her journey of faith and what she's doing for God. And you go, I'm not there. Can I encourage you? We've got to start believing what God says about us. The Bible calls us the head and not the tail. He calls us above and never beneath. There are times where I feel like giving up. I've got to remind myself what God says about me. And you know, the beautiful thing, I can talk myself up all day long and I'm not boastful or proud because everything he says about me, he says about you. And Mary had to get a revelation that she was blessed and favored by God for her faith to be at a place to believe God for something supernatural to happen. Where's your faith at? You're not going to change the world if you live believing that you're a defeated foe. I feel like I've had the enemy come against me more in the last 3 years in my heart, in my mind, in just natural challenges and different things. But there's something about squaring your shoulders and go, hey, hang on, I'm the righteousness of God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Oh, man, I'm called and anointed. So are you. Oh, man. Oh. I'm fully responding to the altar call tonight. You know, the Apostle Paul, 44 times, he uses this term, in Christ. We're seated in Christ. We are in Christ. We're a new creation. He talks about the blessings that we have in Christ 44 times. I think of the times I think about what I'm in. I'm in trouble. I'm in pain. I'm in disappointment. I'm in regret. I'm in a funk. I don't know what you might think you're in, but it's no match to what you're in when you know you're in Christ. And that's why I really do believe it's so important that we believe what God says about us. When the preachers preach here on a Sunday, don't walk away going, oh, they're just trying to encourage me. They're just trying to hype me up. Mate, if you actually feel this rare thing called encouragement, that's actually a sign that God's actually lifting you. What's encouragement? He's putting in you courage to believe that God has a plan and a purpose for each and every person. Let's not run around looking like the pin-up boy for the Book of Lamentations. There's nothing worse than a miserable Pentecostal. Like, they ruin every prayer meeting. Who wants to pray for something? I've had a tough week. I mean, I preach at a church one time, the worship leader gets up, first thing they say, I've had a shocker of a week. But don't let that stop you from worshiping God. And they start singing some song from Noah's Ark that caused Noah to nearly jump off the boat. Can I encourage you? Let's get a spring in our spirit. Oh man, I don't know how I'm going to finish this message. I feel like I'm going to leap out of my own skin. There's going to be a skeleton just doing laps around here. You know, that's why I love being in faith churches. This place is a dangerous environment right now because you're all in faith mode. Like the whole church has just shifted its dish to the All Things Are Possible network. Yeah. And the problem for a lot of you is it's gonna really ruin your everyday life a little bit because you're gonna think bigger. You're gonna have bigger faith. It's not purely by association. You've hung around something that's gonna get on you, and miracles are gonna be birthed in your homes and in your life. I think about Mary. Mary's minding her own business, and the angel says, "By the way, your cousin's pregnant as well. She couldn't even have a baby. She's pregnant. Yes, it's with a Baptist, but she's pregnant." I believe miracles are going to break out on every side. I feel like as this church takes a leap into its destiny, you watch, miracles are going to break out in your home, in your relationship. People you thought were so far from God, oh man, they're going to come to Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody, give Jesus a shout of praise. Blessed. I don't have time to turn to the next passage, so look at it later. Please. Deuteronomy 28 talks about all these blessings, there's a lot of them. But the second isn't, first is declaration, the second is promise. I'm so inspired. Being this weekend, I feel like I've preached, but this weekend was totally a setup, I think, in the reverse. I didn't come to minister. I've left full of faith. Walking around the new property yesterday, it did something for me, because we're believing God for similar things in our church right now, and there's some breakthroughs happening right now, and we're going to have the Sim Street Revival in Adelaide, except it's going to be called the McIntyre Corner of McIntyre and Milne Road Revival. Name doesn't really have a ring to it. It's not as cool as Sim Street. The angel prophesies, and behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. He doesn't just stop there. The angel starts describing this Jesus. He will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord will give him the throne of his father, David, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever of his kingdom. There'll be no end. The promises of God are yes and amen. I teach our church all the time the power of our amen. We should always give our amen to the promises of God. You know what amen means? It means truth, so be it, let it be done. So if you get a preacher up here tells you that Jesus is a miracle working Jesus, lend your amen to it. Take a hold, amen. I believe that's why I believe it in an amen atmosphere. It gets you dancing with the word on a Sunday, and that word can produce something in you because you're lending your amen to it. And it's not just a hypey Pentecostal thing we've created because preachers are insecure. However, it does help our insecurity just slightly. I mean, I've been preaching in some places. They're so amped, ready to go. I was talking about fish and chips once, and wow. Nah, not really. Someone gets up and says, "Here's a God that healeth thee." We lend our amen. Every time you hear about the Sim Street Revival, lend your amen to it. Say, "God, let it be done. We're having an encounter weekend. Amen, I'm in. Let it be done. So be it." Promises of God are yes and amen. I'm being brief because I want to get to the end of the message quicker tonight because I want to pray. Number three, in this phase of bringing to birth the impossible, number three, there's an empowering. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." When the Holy Spirit comes upon a believer, things are birthed. In a weekend like this where you're in the presence of God and you sense His anointing, you sense the touch of the hand of God, when you might feel His presence, that is not the... It's not so much the goal to get you touched by God, although this is where I sit. For me, simply enjoying the Holy Spirit is actually a beautiful thing in and of itself. What a joy to enjoy God and know He's real. But the beautiful thing about God, you can enjoy Him, but creative power is released in the life of a person. That's why we got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because something's birthed in the heavenly. Something's birthed in your life. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary and God's plan of redemption was birthed on the inside of her and through her in the form of Jesus. The Spirit of God overshadows, casts his shadow. I want to be overshadowed with the shadow of his Spirit. And so when the light of opposition comes, I'm protected because I'm overshadowed by his goodness and by his grace, by his Spirit, living in the shadow of the Almighty. When the Spirit of God comes upon a believer, something is birthed. And you know, things will overshadow you. Depression will overshadow you. Discouragement will overshadow you. That's why it's so important. These days and these hours, I think the message of Pentecost, the message of the power of the Spirit, the message of the touch of God is more and more important in a world that's losing its head. We need the power and the presence of God to overshadow us in the name of Jesus. Even right now, the Spirit of God's overshadowing this room and things are happening. I was preaching back home a few years ago at our church and I was doing a message on giving. And I was actually reminded of it because I was trying to work out the last time I preached on giving because I wanted to preach on it again in our church and stir our church to believe God in the practicalities of tithing and sowing into the kingdom of God. And so I was kind of looking over my notes to see what I'd said and maybe how I could say it in a fresh way to our church. And I was reminded about the time that I'd done it, maybe 2019, somewhere around there. And might have been even later, but I was preaching on giving. And at the end of the message, there was a woman in our church. And I don't know how to describe her. I liked how you described the elderly before. You said generational. But this woman was beyond generational. I don't know how to say it, but she was old. And I don't mean like getting up there. I mean like when she was a child, the Dead Sea was still sick. She was so old that we actually could only tell her age through carbon dating. That's it. No, that's silly. I've got one more and then I'll get back to it. She was so old that she was a waitress at the Last Supper. I got two more. She was so old, I thought she might have been a celebrity and that the paparazzi were following her to church one day. It wasn't the paparazzi, it was archaeologists. So they walked in with her, they were digging. So this woman's in her 90s. And I preach on tithing. The next minute we hear, and then, we like to help people to the ground if the Spirit of God's on them, especially when they're in their 90s. We just feel like it's an added. So she hits the ground. So I don't know if you and Craig ever roll like this, but have you ever been preaching? You're trying to preach, but also give some nonverbal communication to your wife. So I'm like, so Donna goes over. Really, you think, oh man, isn't it good of Donna to go and minister to her and love on her? No, we just would try not to get sued. So it turns out this woman, it's like she had a demonic experience. Well, a supernatural experience where a demonic thing was loosed off her life. She had dementia, couldn't string a sentence together. And was sitting there in her right mind and the first thing she was doing was complaining to her son-in-law about the nursing home and she wanted to move. I've never seen that before or since, but that's what happens when the Spirit of God overshadows a meeting and does supernatural things. I don't know what how you have, but for every how you have, there's a Holy Ghost. And too often we think, oh, 92, don't worry about it. I'm believing God, whatever phase of life you're in, God wants you blessed. He wants you favored. He wants you well. In the name of Jesus, can you clap your hands and give God praise? I'm in this tipping point. Do I go this direction or that? I think I'll wrap up, but I'll say this. The fourth thing we see in this story, and I love this term, we see a word of faith. People don't always know what to do with that, because go on YouTube and, oh, word of faith. I'm word of faith. Some people go, you word of faith? Well, what's the opposite? I'm not word of doubt. I have people say, you a grace preacher? No, I'm judgment. What other gospel is there? It's full of grace. It's full of faith. And so, but she was given a word of faith. The Bible says that the angel wraps up and says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. She hears that word, that faith word for her. And then she says this, she says in verse 38, she said, let it be me according to your word. I don't want to aspire to some lofty place. I just want to be able to say, God, let it be me according to your word. And God can do something with people that live with that posture. Let it be me. What a thing to cling to. It's not the only time we hear nothing's impossible. Mark 9:23, Jesus said, anything is possible to those who believe. Luke 1:37, for nothing is impossible with God. Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Luke 18:27, Jesus replied, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Jeremiah 32:17, ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. That word, that rhema, that quickened word that comes alive in your spirit that you can hold on to. Ah, man. I just feel like if we can have that injection of faith, God can bring to birth. You mix faith and the anointing. That's a lethal combination to religious Christianity. It's a lethal combination to the plans of the enemy. If we can get supernatural faith and supernatural anointing, anything can happen. I wonder if you've got some things in your world that seem impossible, but you're believing God wants to bring breakthrough in that. If that's you, why don't you stand to your feet right across the house?
Thanks for listening to this message. We pray that you have been blessed by it. For further information, check out www.davidhall.com.au.